This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
I am drinking a little wine, though. That's not something I normally do during our sessions. But I came from a... What do you like?
Just European Edwin, just drinking wine on the recording. Yeah. Drinking wine on a Wednesday.
I'm in the midst of a siesta.
Don't tell my wife I'm drinking on a Wednesday.
No, don't worry. I don't know her. We often don't start eating until well after midnight.
Out of paper, out of stock. There's friendly faces around the block. Break loose from the chains that are causing you pain. Call Michael and Stanley, Jim and Dwight Creed. Call Andy and Kelly for your business paper needs. Or Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people.
Hello and welcome to the Michael Scott Podcast Company, a show for fans of The Office by fans of The Office. I'm your host and sous chef, Sean Roney.
And I'm Edwin James, general manager at Chili's.
And with us, as always, our producer in the warehouse, Mr. Alex Ward.
Can I get some cheese whiz or hollandaise?
No cheese whiz, no hollandaise, no chocolate sauce. Just eat it. Come on. Here comes the airplane. There you go. Open into the hangar. There you go. Yeah, eat it. Put it in your mouth and just eat it.
God, I hate it.
I don't care whether you hate it. You say you do it.
All right.
Eat it.
Every week we get together and talk about our favorite show, NBC's The Office. This week, it's time to raise the stakes. We're talking about food and drink. This is an episode we've teased for a while. I'm excited. It's going to be a fun one. Season four, episode one. After that, we'll head to the conference room and we'll finish up with some listener provided trivia. But before we get into it, let's start with a little housekeeping. What do we got, Alex?
First of all, happy Thanksgiving, y'all. That was last week.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving.
And as we look forward to Christmas, we might have some special stuff coming up. And this is what we do. We tease ideas and we never do them. That's what our show does. But we have been very active on the Patreon, so a plug for that, as always. Now is the great time to join as we donate to the Thurgood Marshall College Fund throughout the year. We'll be doing our big holiday donation coming up soon, and we donate a portion of all of our proceeds on Patreon to that. So get involved, get busy with it. Patreon.com/MichaelScott, join $5 a month. That's going to get you a lot of stuff. That's going to get you, we have 30 mailbag episodes now.
Whoa.
And we've been doing them once a month.
So that's probably like 60 to 90 hours of content.
That's two and a half years.
Yeah. Anywhere between 100 and 500,000 hours of recorded audio content. Yeah.
How many questions do you think that is?
I mean, every time we do 40 to 50 questions?
Yeah,
probably.
Something like, yeah.
It's impossible to say because there is no Wikipedia entry for MSPC Patreon questions.
I know. But if you're... The holidays coming up, if you're like, man, I wish I've run out of episodes listening to how these amazing three guys, there's so much more just waiting there for you for $5. Forget raising the stakes. Let's raise the price on our Patreon. My God.
We never will.
It's like the Costco hot dog. That's a constant.
And we never will.
And we didn't release a main feed episode last week, but we did release our Patreon episode for November last week. So something you can jump in on.
Thanksgiving special, over 2 hours this time. Mm-hmm. It's just been a lot of fun. So we answer everyone's questions who submits every month. We ask our patrons for episode ideas. We get them involved in the show where we can.
This is really one that I feel like people on Patreon have pushed for a while.
It came up
again this time, and we just said, you know what? We're doing it.
Let me give you a couple ideas, too, that people have thrown out for our wonderful tots for some main feed eps. This is a good one. An episode about Michael as the world's worst confidant. I think that'd be great. 'Cause there's actually a lot of That's there's good. More than you think. That's Women's Appreciation episode we've been asked to do.
Nice.
Someone said do a That's What She Said episode, which we've already done. Mm-hmm. Uh-oh. Mm-hmm. Check that out. And then someone said to do an entire trivia episode of Edwin's old-timey newscaster persona recapping iconic sports moments, and Sean has to guess what he's talking about.
That's really going back. I haven't done that voice in a long time.
Way back. And then finally, as we do occasionally drop bonus content to our tots, including season two of our Ted Lasso series.
That's right.
There's been a call out for a mini White Lotus episode series, which Sean and I are way into.
We're into it.
We're gonna get Edwin into it, and maybe we'll do a little White Lotus Christmas special. So if you're watching White Lotus, HBO's show, which you should, season one and two, go ahead and catch up. Plenty
Very
of time.
Very good.
Be ready for it.
Coming.
Speaking
at
of catch up, let's talk about food and drink on the
yes.
office.
Yes.
That's why Edwin is the only salaried member of this podcast, right there, folks.
I think you mean salaried member. But the reason that we wanted to talk about food and drink on The Office, this has been a topic that's been brewing for a long time. It's something that we've alluded to wanting to do, and I'm glad that we're finally doing it. But food and drink on The Office has a really unique role. It's kind of like a vehicle for jokes. It's a conduit for a lot of office parties. It has a very specific role early in the show. And then, of course, it provides some of the funniest and most memorable moments in the entire series run. So I think we're going to start with a couple of themes and ideas, and then we'll probably just evolve into remember this moment,
yeah.
some of our favorite moments. But either way, excited to jump into it with you guys. I think maybe to start us off, we can talk about how food and drink appears on The Office in the early seasons. I think one thing that happens as the show begins is that food and drink is kind of a way that characters express themselves. We're still getting to know the characters. We're still getting to know the ensemble. We're still in like a very, very standard office environment. We don't know these characters yet. They haven't. It's not nearly as bright and loud as it is in the later mm-hmm. seasons. So when you think about in the pilot, Pam's mixed berry yogurt, you think right. about Jim's ham and cheese sandwich from the early seasons. You think about Kevin's
stapler and Jell-O.
The stapler and Jell-O, exactly. It's just kind of a way to add detail and color to the show in the early seasons. Mm-hmm.
Stapler and Jell-O, maybe the most iconic office image there is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's not of a character of like of something people yeah. worldwide would recognize as that's an office. That's
well,
office.
Yeah. Yeah, and I wonder, too, I mean, it's like that's something that was in the British Office. I wonder if it's in every single iteration of The Office that's ever been. It just that's seems to question. Be like a joke that needs to be there. Whereas, like, the Dundee is very iconic, but only for the American version, you know?
Right. Yeah. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, the first episode, UK Office, same thing.
Same
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
I think, too, you think about Dwight using the water cooler as a way to bring office conversation closer to himself. It's kind of deployed for jokes a lot early on as well. And when we talk about getting to learn the characters or getting to know the characters, a big example of that is Michael. I think of the Hot Girl episode where he talks about the coffee machine, the espresso machine is the prize, and being addicted to coffee and trying to use that to get closer to Katie. Ryan and him cleaning his car where they find all the filet fishes, the Blue Blast sports drink. It's just ways to kind of show the depth and the strangeness mm-hmm. of Michael Scott we know him that well.
Also in season one, like healthcare, using ice cream sandwiches as a prize or as like, hey, here's what we all get. And it's like, it just sets the bar for Michael Scott. If like, he's going to let you down. Like ice cream sandwiches to him are a very big deal and they're not.
Or Count Chocula and Count Choculitis. I think... Another piece of it is we're in this office world. It's kind of like pizza parties in grade school or middle school, where yeah, it's just kind totally. Of this like very, very small treat. Or as
I mean,
Kelly says,
I loved it in middle school. I love a pizza party. It was very exciting.
Think but about in season up. 8. I know I'm jumping ahead quite a bit where Kelly talks about how you need to have more than just pizza to have a party.
Pizza party, pizza party. Yeah, early on, too. I mean, my mind goes straight to the injury where you've got Michael says that he, you know, really enjoys waking up to the smell of bacon, which is the whole reason that he burns his foot, grills his foot. And then later, too, you get, you know, the foods that he thinks of as, you know, sort of medicinal, pudding and fresh yams.
the egg sausage McMuffin that he makes Ryan get to the office super early for. Take your pants off, run around, whatever you want to do.
You know what?
I'm just going to go take a nap in my car.
You know what I will say? That egg sausage McMuffin that early in the morning when no one's even in there yet, that does sound nice.
That sounds nice. That's the right time for McDonald's breakfast.
Followed by a nap in your car. I like all of that.
Like to start my day off with a little McDonald's and a nap.
With a hearty bowl of Jan.
Wake up and it's 7:30.
Wake up and drive home.
There's something, it is that super early morning, like between 5 and 7. Is like the only time I'll ever eat McDonald's, really, and it's rare. Mm-hmm. But usually, lately, it's only been if I have a super early tea time, like way out on the west side where all of our friends play, and it's like an hour drive to get there. I hit the McDonald's going down Powell, grab myself a little little sausage McMuffin, and hit the road. It's good for me, you know. I love it.
It's good for me. Yeah,
sue me.
I kind of in that same vein, I feel like the airport is kind of a place for McDonald's breakfast. Early flight.
Super early.
And that's what's open. Yeah.
It's early enough where you're like, my body has all day to process this. I'll be fine.
I think that's exactly what Michael is thinking as well. He's like, Ryan's going to love this. He's just going to love this.
It's surprising he didn't have Ryan get one for himself, like get two. And he's like, that one's for you. Just like he does to Aaron later. Job well done.
Is that when he takes the is that when he takes the muffin off the sandwich too and goes,
yeah, he
carbs.
Does less carbs. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then that bite. Anyway,
watch those carbs.
I mean, I think that's a piece of it too, is that like so much of Michael's food choices kind of paint his character in such a strange way. You think about tomato bologna and ketchup as like the party sub for his birthday, the donuts that he rejects Toby from on his birthday. there's such a weirdness to him and his tastes that comes up all the way through the show.
All the way through the show. Dinner party, he dips his food in wine because he has soft teeth.
Glass of sangria, bag of vegetables. Before you know it, I'm ready for bed.
And we've mentioned mainly savory things for Michael, who I would say is mainly known for his sweet tooth. Like, he has so many crazy... There's a lot of Michael that's still this arrested development of a middle school boy.
I think he's
kind of still stuck there, and he eats that way, too. I mean, Front Run, I think that deleted scene where he tries to get a lollipop from the doctor. He's still trying to get suckers from the doctor. Yeah. Like he's just looking for candy.
We're first introduced to that, I think, in Pretzel Day, which is another great defining character moment. When we get to see Stanley, the most energetic and excited he's ever been. But Michael gets to the front of the line and he reads off all the toppings he can get, and he asks for the works.
And the look on his face when the vendor's like, the works, like it's nothing out of the ordinary. Like, Michael's accepted. He's welcome here. His kind. And he's genuinely pleased about it. And then, which leads to maybe my favorite office food related moment on the show, is just the quick shot. It's just Michael doing the one pump up on his chair. He just does the one step and comes back down.
Rush.
I just love it. I love it so much.
Michael has kind of a more is more mentality on food. You think about his coffee order when he goes to meet Pam's landlady for the blind date. I think it's hot chocolate with
it
caramel and a shot of peppermint.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
That's exactly.
Like, it's just more is more. More sweets, more flavor, more sugar, more everything. Every morning. Or the family sized chicken pot pie that he eats.
Yes.
And then immediately goes to sleep.
In the surplus, he puts sugar in diet soda. He's pouring
so casually.
Yeah. Scotch and Splenda, of course, fits in here, too. Also, when Michael is nervous or you know, doesn't know what to do in the Michael Scott Paper Company arc, he just makes piles of French toast, towers.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Until he gets egg in his Crocs.
Yeah, it just keeps going. I wonder if he got that from Dwight or vice versa, because Dwight is also known, I'd say, for a more is more mentality with providing food.
I think
the plates of bacon specifically, but
we can talk and we will talk more and more about Michael's tastes as we kind of progress. But I guess I think maybe trying to keep it in line with the arc of the show.
Sure.
Are there more food and drink moments from early on in the show that kind of stand out to you? I'm thinking of the, like, because when they go to early in the season, when they go to Chili's, or early in season two, I should say, when they go to Chili's for the Dundies, for in the client, there is just like, it's just kind of a unique inclusion that kind of adds a little bit of extra detail to the show. It's not like they go to a bar, they go to Chili's, where small business happens.
Awesome, right. Blossom.
Mm-hmm.
Extra, I mean, awesome.
It's funny, you look at season two, I'd say out of those first 7 episodes, the majority of them have food in some very important way throughout them, be it, like you said, the Dundies happening at the restaurant. Office Olympics, the trophies are the yogurt lids. That's a big deal. The fire is started
by... There's an M&M eating contest.
The episode, the fire, Olympics, is started by a burned pita in the toaster oven.
Right. Oh,
I mean, everything is related to... And then you get the client going to Chili's as well.
Not to mention Hooters in The Secret, and then also... Michael not being able to get Hooters in Casino Night.
Going straight into Christmas Party, Booze Cruise, the injury. There's food and drink right there all the way throughout.
Well, and I mean, it's one thing to like have food and drink. That's like part of the human experience.
Yeah, exactly.
But it just adds a little bit of depth and color. And like, it's funnier when it's specific, you know, like it's funnier when it's a specific restaurant versus just a restaurant. Like, it's funnier that Michael takes Jim to Hooters for lunch instead of, you know, Cooper Seafood or something like that.
There's
an extra little detail that is brought in by those kinds of choices in the way that the show is written.
I just don't want to forget another Michael More is More food moment, which is all the guacamole that he makes for parties that people never come to.
I mean, that's his problem. Yeah, he makes them in such big quantities. Yeah,
the food. I mean, you made a really good point earlier, Edwin.
Thank you.
that it's a way to get to know some characters quickly. And even, you know, if you're doing like an icebreaker at a new job or whatever, like often something about food will come up, you know, like your name, where you're from, and a favorite ice cream flavor. So like, that's a very common thing, right? And the show does this as well. And honestly, even in an office environment, the times when you're eating and drinking are those times when you're taking a break from work, usually. It's the times when people are gathered to get drinks after work, or someone's birthday, we're gonna have some cake. And so much on The Office is those moments, because honestly, you can't really just have a show that shows people doing their office job all the time. So in that environment, you rely on these moments to get the characters mingling and get them doing something.
What do you think about Survivor Man, when Jim tries to pull all the birthdays together and celebrate birthday month in style, and everyone has a perspective on what kind of cake they want? Or it's my birthday, I should be able to pick.
Yeah. Me likey Fudgy the Whale.
Mushroom caps, exactly. Me likey the ice cream cake.
I want a cobbler. Peach cobbler. Tell her it's for Creed. She'll know what that means.
And then Michael kind of getting back into the office and be like, oh, I tried that once. Didn't work out.
Me likey the ice cream cake.
Oh, early on, iconic as well.
Large tuna.
Large. I mean, big tuna. The name. Tuna. What? The main thing that the Stanford branch knows about Jim is he likes tuna. That's all they got.
Big tuna, big turkey.
That's nickname for the entire series now, based off
tuna.
Tuna.
He had a tuna sandwich his first day for lunch. And then you think later on when Andy's like, hey, big tuna. It's like, I'm eating you. And then Angela comes over and kisses him while he's got,
while he's got the bite. He swallows afterwards.
Hey-o.
Yeah. Big tuna. Fantastic call out. One of the best nicknames
Large
in the whole show.
Tuna.
Yeah.
Large
right
tuna.
Now I need canned
Have
tuna.
You seen my cell phone device?
Spread too thin, tuna carpaccio.
You're probably sick of tuna. You got tuna every night.
It's also a way.
Bar, beers, buzzed, wings, shots, drunk, waitresses, hot, football, Cornell Hofstra, Slaughter.
Then a quick nap at my place and we hit the T-Zone.
There you go. There's food and drink. Full lineup for Mandy.
I mean, in relation to, or maybe in opposition or comparison to Andy, you have Dwight, who brings in these things from the farm. He's got the beet vodka that he's made.
I mean, just
pastry. Oh, yeah.
The beet is a symbol for Dwight. That is that is a very defining food. Perhaps
I mean, that's true. I'd say next to the stapler Jell-O, when you see office apparel out and about or everything, like all the office stuff that like Target sells, there's so many Shroot Farms with the beet on it. Like I have one of those shirts. I'm sure you all have been gifted something with the beet on it. We had friends over for a Thanksgiving meal and one of them showed up in a sweatshirt with a beet on it. Mm-hmm. Said Shroot Farms. I mean, it's very exportable and it's something that the show never strays away from. Like beets come up all the time.
This is only kind of a plug for our Patreon, but in our Patreon mailbag last week, we had one of the craziest things I've ever heard in my entire life, which was Sean suggesting that borscht is kind of like chili.
Oh, it's like maybe it's more like a stew.
These are the kind of hot takes, or rather cold takes, that you can expect on our Patreon.
I was just gonna say I am a fan of beet. I think I'm the only fan of beet on this show.
Yep, mm-hmm.
Is that right? Okay,
it's correct. Yep. Correct.
but you think about Dwight and pastry cubes full of sugar and fat. No, thank you. I'll stick with my jerky and just all the different foods that he brings in from Shroot Farms. The goose that he wants to clean in Benihana Christmas, and all the food that he brings in Dwight Christmas, including the hog mama,
I
the bovine
hog mama.
Living the pig rib. It's just a part of Dwight's Pennsylvania Dutch character.
The expired cans of food from his shelter.
Oh, of course. Yeah, mm-hmm. that's an amazing scene. Mm-hmm. Slurping just, down pickled okra.
It's such a pickled okra.
Pickled okra is good.
Is it really?
In a Bloody Mary? Yeah.
Is it good in a 5-gallon quantity?
I'd eat it.
It's nice to not have to plan your meals.
But just think about the depth and the detail that it adds to Dwight's character. In addition to his farming background, in addition to his short sleeves, his sales acumen, and his role as a farmer, like all of that just had so much. Or all the butter sculptures or the exotic meats that are made of goat. Like it just adds so much to the person that is Dwight.
Well, Look at the main cast, like the central four players in the cast, right? You have, they are completely represented by their food at all times. Like Michael as a character is sugar. He is a sugar crash. Like that is Michael Scott. He is like loud and intense and you always regret everything that happened. But in the moment it was fun and crazy, right? Like Michael is candy. He is
Dwight. Dwight is a hearty winter vegetable.
Yeah, he's earthy. He's like, he is of the land, for the land, by the land. That is what he represents. And everything he does throughout the show is that. And then Jim is a ham and cheese sandwich. Like he is a B student. He is right down the middle. He is having a nice weekend in Philly. That is who he is. White bread, ham and cheese.
Ham is strawberry yogurt.
Pam goes with the sandwich.
Mixed berry.
Something from her world, you know, some strawberry yogurt, perhaps. But food props up all the characters, you know, all the time.
Well, and then Ryan, who's kind of included in that main cast, he thinks of himself as an F train to Brooklyn extra bitters.
Right.
But in reality, he might be a bit more like the mojito.
Or he's just his mom's recipe is what he is. Yeah. It's mom's pesto. Yeah.
You know, in addition to this idea of character development, one of the other sort of themes that I thought of is kind of like conduits for office parties. Like they bring them to people gather around food. The donuts for Michael's birthday, the C-shaped bagels for Charles's arrival, all the food that Michael creates brings in for the Stanford staff that he doesn't let the grand staff have the last meal, the last supper, the last lunch, what have you, before the weight loss initiative. Like it brings people together in the conference room specifically in a unique way
and tears them apart at times. Mm-hmm. Sneaking in a cake perhaps.
Or sneaking in a cheese cart.
I don't like cake anymore. All I like is baklava.
Nicely done, Sean. Oh yeah, sneaking in the cheese cart. That's one of the better.
Oh, the cheese cart is, yeah.
If I'd already used Andy's cheese monologue as an opener before, but it would have been for this one.
Yeah, I think when you brought up this theme, Edwin, certainly what stands out is that last meal before weight loss. The cheese fondue fountain, like I've seen those mm-hmm. with chocolate, but never in with cheese in real life. I don't know. I would. That looks a little sus to me. But then you get.
I'll get you one for Christmas.
You get Stanley taking some things home to his family, and then Dwight spraying everything with like bug spray or something like that.
Oh, mm-hmm. the insecticide. Yeah. Rough.
But certainly also, yeah, the pizza party. Yeah. Pizza by Alfredo's. That whole thing is such a huge the entire office can agree on one thing. Finally.
Mm-hmm. Alfredo's and Pizza Cafe.
And which I was just going to ask. Just going to pop quiz, Sean.
I never remember.
It's totally fine, dude. Don't worry about it. Yeah. I mean, you mentioned to kind of go back to the parties. I mean, we mentioned all this stuff throughout season two, it's constant. I mean, even ending with Michael's birthday and a surprising lack of focus on the food at casino night, I'd say, other than the drinking. Mm-hmm. But there's not really food there, is there?
I thought Hooters did cater it. Like Toby says, we can't have the kids there,
but we don't really see
it's
it.
Catered by Hooters.
Thank you. You're correct. They rejected the what right. Toby did not allow is the Boy Scouts to receive the check because
do you want me to? Right. Do you want me to keep going? but you know, even going to like cocktails, you know, is such a great change of pace in season three because you know, different location, whole different vibe, and this is where you know this is where we see Michael originally ask for Splenda. When he's drinking the fancy scotch, which then he mm-hmm. serves, which he's drinking later in 2 weeks, right? Like he finds his drink, yeah. his manly drink is scotch with a little Splenda, which is the perfect Michael Scott thing.
Well, and then also you get Michael bringing potato salad, and right. then Dan saying, "I'm sure that. It'll be catered."
Yeah,
and then Rachel just sets that little tub of potato right. salad that has been sitting in the sun.
Yep.
Just out in the middle of a tray.
On a hot dashboard for hours.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's a funny moment, too, in that it's like, you know, it's another way to communicate to the audience, like, Michael is now where he doesn't belong. You know, he's maybe at the office, that's how the parties work. Everyone brings in food, or Angela brings all the food. Mm-hmm. Certainly, it's never catered. I think that's a great use of food to highlight that theme for the episode.
And the inverse, I would say the inverse of that is in the convention where Michael tries to take who he is to the convention and put on basically build a bar in his hotel room. Girls gone wild. and try and like, you know, have this getting everyone super, super drunk, which is, I think, one of Michael's plays. Is this enough to get 15 people drunk or how
we did?
Like,
I mean,
yeah,
that is a lot of liquor. We did our episode with our friends at Lady Justice last year, and earlier this year, I should say. And yeah. we did talk about drinking on The Office, but sure I mean, did. they kind of interact food and drink within The Office. I'm thinking of you know Michael with his 15 bottles of vodka, and it's just like yeah, that's it's kind of a way Michael thinks more is more. He needs to provide more alcohol, like more than enough, mm-hmm. to get everyone to this state.
He doesn't want anyone to have an excuse not to be very, very drunk.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. I think people probably like Michael a lot more when they're drunk and he's drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Hence, he needs that to happen. but I mean, from cocktails, I mean, Phyllis's wedding, I mean, throughout this entire, all the way through season three, Beach Games has, I mean, we could probably take a pause there and talk about the hot dog eating contest is a very huge moment, I would say, within the show. Have any of you ever participated or seen an eating contest?
I mean, on TV, like the
yeah.
I mean, sorry, in person.
No.
Not in per- well, I mean, like, I've seen things like, it's not really an eating contest, but it's like a pie eating contest, and the way you win is actually by getting the, it's like usually like a marble or something in the
right, right. And you
pie.
Can't use like your hands. You like eat with your face.
It's not actually
first.
About how much you
right.
eat. It's about yeah,
the technique.
You know, oh, in high school there was milk chugging contests. I remember that.
Whoa. I actually kind of remember that too.
It always ended the same way.
With the milk all over the floor.
With the milk in the trash can after it's been inside of you.
You know, it's funny you mentioned hot dogs, because the hot dog eating contest, because the hot dog is like a funny recurring thing on The Office. And it's probably just a recurring thing because it's kind of a funny food. I mean, you think about it, I Think You Should Leave.
Oh,
yeah. Hot dog car sketch.
I Think You Should Leave.
Oh, I was thinking about the hot dog up the sleeve.
yeah, of course. But like it's you think about. This moment with the hot dog eating contest, you think about Dwight coming in with the tray, I think for Gabe, or no, for
that's
the band.
Right.
Yeah, or Scranton area hot dog from
Scranton. No. Oh, I feel like it is.
When he sets them all on the floor.
Right. Mm-hmm. Is it? I thought it was for Gabe.
I think it's for Gabe.
Yeah. Because he's Computron. He's too busy being Computron.
That's true. In the banker, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Pam coming in with a hiya buddy hot dog note.
Yeah, Karen dresses the hot dog in that photo.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Or one of them dresses a hot dog in that photo.
Wow. Never thought about
Michael in The Search asking them to throw away a hot dog into his mouth. yeah. It just kind of recurs a lot.
He doesn't go to a hot dog stand in New York, does he? No, he goes to
Sbarro. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's right. But that's funny too, cuz that is, I feel like the hot dog is it's kind of a gimmicky staple of American cuisine that shows up in every show. Like you can't go far without seeing a hot dog in this country.
The hot dog is one of the funniest foods.
It is
maybe
funny.
Even funnier than a whipped cream pie, you know?
Oh, way funnier.
Pickles funny. Mm-hmm. Anything shaped like a ding dong.
But not ding dongs. The hostess cake.
Cucumbers.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Okay. You mentioned pies. Pies are something that comes up quite a bit. Like you have Michael with the chicken pot pie that he eats. You have Laverne's pie. Tyre's fixed also. and the moment where Kevin tries to get Oscar to shove his pie in his face. Again, just kind of a recurring comedic food that pops up now and then through The Office.
Or
Dwight with his cabbage pie. Then Doomsday.
Oh, the cabbage pie. Oh, God. No thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Do I want to talk about dinner party at all? A little Ossobuco. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
Talk about food reflecting a character. Is there any more jam than that meal?
My question to you guys:
an Ossobuco
that takes forever.
Not even close.
Yeah.
I have a theory that Ossobuco, after waiting all night for it, was still terrible.
Oh, nothing would be good.
I can just imagine being like, oh, you know, I don't use salt in food. It's, you know, very bad for you. I don't know.
Right. I don't like to be bloated at my own party. So yeah, no, Pam, yeah. I didn't salt the Ossobuco. Whoa. I mean, we skipped right over to Wally as well. It's great. Just getting people interacting with foods they don't normally have.
Used your hands.
Yeah. going through the line. Again, that's perfect.
What's vegetarian? It's all vegetarian.
It's not. And at Angela, it's not like, it's not even her really bringing foods. It's just how she reacts to foods is how we know her character. and how she plans her office parties. You know, she keeps it pretty in bounds with all the food they have. Maybe a cupcake, you know, maybe a little dessert, but that's about it.
It's got to be on theme with a Nutcracker Christmas.
Yeah. Do you guys have a go-to dessert or food you'd bring to a potluck?
I mean, if I were to bring a dessert to a potluck, I would bring... In my family, we call it bibinca. It's like a Filipino. It's sweet rice and coconut milk and brown sugar. In other parts of the Philippines, I think it's mostly known as Biko, but I would bring that.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Sounds really good. I don't make a lot of dessert, but if I was gonna, I'd make a fine chocolate chip cookie.
Classic.
Make a.
What makes it fine?
I throw a little extra stuff in there. Throw a little caramel or toffee in there. So there's a place in Portland called Coquin that makes a chocolate chip cookie that's like, it's probably got too much stuff in it to even call it a chocolate chip cookie anymore, but it's got almonds, caramel, and then it's topped with a smoke salt, which is chef's kiss. Very good.
So you would add things to a chocolate chip cookie, but not so many things that you couldn't call it a chocolate chip cookie anymore.
Yes.
There you go.
Or cannolis.
Just sure. Or that.
What about you, Alex?
All right. Dude, a dessert. I don't know. I mean, Anne, my wife makes very good pies. So I usually just ride her coattails on the dessert, but I'm much more apt to bring an appetizer, and I do enjoy bringing a dip that's, you know, like a block of cream cheese and a pepper jelly. Mm-hmm. Love it. It's good sturdy chips to cut through that. Mm-hmm.
Your dessert, you're bringing dip.
I'm bringing cream cheese dip as my dessert, and you're gonna like it.
I think, you know, to kind of bring it back to The Office, I think the other sort of big concept that I had found, or that I kind of observed, is that it's kind of a vehicle for jokes. Like Kevin with his chili, it's just kind of this big set piece. He has this gigantic pot he has to spill on the floor. Michael's mayo and black olives, like just kind of these things that are
so
extreme, so silly that like they just kind of add this ridiculous element or this crazy over the top element to the show.
Michael taking the cake out of the fridge. You'll learn, baby. You'll learn.
You'll learn, baby. Oh, how about how many pizzas he orders for the launch party and then kidnaps the delivery boy? Like,
yeah,
there's a more is more moment. Just Dwight pay for the pizzas. So I'll be reimbursed. it's so many that he gets. That's his move. Yeah. I mean, even all the way to stealing sushi when they go to the actual.
Oh yeah.
Go to New York, go to the actual launch party. That's sort of the main thing he has, is to just steal the sushi. That's all he's got left is taking some food.
I mean, some New York sushi.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, when we think of food for jokes. Yeah, oh, definitely. Food for jokes. I mean, Kevin certainly comes to mind. The M&Ms, the Girl Scout cookies.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, my baby.
Broccoli.
Hello,
baby.
My darling.
Broccoli at the top of the show.
Broccoli, yes. That's one of the greatest food moments.
Mm-hmm. Or the Ultra Feast.
Ah.
That he has with Pam.
I can pick out in the name of ceremony. Mm-hmm. What's Fancy Feast? What's October?
Not to mention the webisodes, Kevin cooks stuff in the office.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Kevin, you're such a gourmand.
Yeah.
What about D'Angelo grilling a marshmallow on the coffee maker?
Yeah, the s'mores.
Great. What am I doing? I don't even want this.
Oh, eating the cakes? I had cake for lunch. Yeah.
Well, he throws
no.
it.
He leaves that chocolate handprint on the door on the door jamb. Yeah.
There's
Clueless Sombrero.
Clueless Sombrero is a good one. Mm-hmm. I already mentioned it, of course, but how much Alfredo Michael eats carbo loading before Fun Run? Hilarious. Yeah. The hot dog eating contest is played for comedy very well. We could just keep going on that forever.
Yeah, I mean that's kind of the thing. I think, especially as we go on later in the show, like food is just kind of this extreme thing. You think of the spread that Dwight brings for Dwight Christmas that ends with Daryl falling in the glue vine. It just becomes more and more and more and more. It's less of a like.
I'm begging my Crocs.
Yeah, it's less like. This is what a character brings for lunch. Think of it in the Alliance when Jim is talking to Toby and Kevin about the bread from the deli. Their bread is very good versus like the way that food is just kind of portrayed later in the show. It's not even the same. It's night and day.
I also only eat local organic produce.
Or the amount of wine they drink in pool party. Just so much. It becomes kind of this thing of excess as the show kind of becomes, I think, comedically more broad versus this like totally strange sort of thing about Michael's character. It just kind of becomes this vehicle for crazy jokes. I mentioned this example already, but like it'll all be goat. exotic meats, draft burgers, hippo steaks. It's just totally different from where they on early is, where they are in the beginning of the show.
So. And they don't abandon food as the primary way to introduce a character or get to know a character. I would say, think about Gabe. When Gabe comes in, we get his glee party when he wants to entertain and have people over, and the whole thing is making these pizzas, right? We also mm-hmm. get, you know, his this.
I know how to use chopsticks so well.
Nelly eating the taco. This is a way we kind of get to know. Taco. She's just clueless. She's got no idea what's going on.
Yeah,
as reflected in this season's Great British Bake Off as well. Watching British people deal with tacos. Yeah,
tacos. Somebody said to us, I think, like, that's one of their cringe moments is watching Nelly eat the taco.
It's tough.
Just pushing it it's tough, with the dude. Finger.
I think too, like, maybe I'm trying to think if there are more than multiple examples of this, but this is coming to me now. I think of the popcorn and the dirty microwave note, like, is something that people can argue about as well.
Mm.
Or you think about
it smells like popcorn,
or it could be an object of debate or an object of conversation. Like you think about Ultra Feast and about Pam and Kevin versus Pigging Out in the Name of Ceremony. You think of the Finer Things Club and the fact that not everyone is allowed in the club.
Yeah.
There's like an element of being in or out when it comes to food.
Oh, I do have that drop.
You want to eat cat food with Kevin and not go to the hospital?
That's Fancy Feast. Ultra Feast is something they made up so they can pig out together in the Name of Ceremony.
What is October Feast?
Or maybe, okay, all right, speaking of that, think about at the end when Elizabeth the stripper is performing at Dwight's bachelor party and he's trying to order soup, the heartiest soup and the onion loaf. Right. We haven't even gotten bread yet.
Food is often used as a prank.
You've been meatballed.
Oh yes. How, the meatball sub is their worst sandwich.
The putting the fish in the vent.
Yeah,
up in the vent system.
One thing did come to mind too. I guess I don't know if it's a joke or what. It's one of the greatest cold opens in the show is the cheese puff opening, throwing cheese puffs into each other's mouths in the Michael Scott Paper Company arc.
That makes me think of the shot of the voiceover of Holly talking about Michael's animal magnetism when Michael's just covered in cheese powder with a 1,000-yard stare.
You know, I think too, maybe one other element to that is I'm thinking of how Michael talks about during the Michael Scott Paper Company time, he would have lunch with Pam and Ryan every day and who really loved it. And that's something that on one hand it is shown in The Office quite a bit, but on the other hand, I feel like it's shown less often. That maybe would happen in an actual environment. Like, I'm sure that they eat lunch together almost every day, a lot of these people.
Yeah,
But it's only shown, I mean, it's shown sometime for sure, but like you think about when it's shown in the kitchen, you think about when it's shown in the break room. It's just kind of a time when they can all be together. They'll kind of have these conversations about all sorts of things. Think about in Spooked in season 8 when they're talking about the Man in Black. You think about Michael's Goodbye Michael, where he doesn't really eat lunch with them. He kind of just leaves them be. They invite him in. Or when they're talking about celebrity crushes, and Toby chimes in with Johnny Depp. And then Kevin, and they're like, oh, I was having a separate conversation with Kevin. Just like that little, like that bonding over a meal that happens in the office as well.
Yeah.
Going back to season 2, Michael trying to hang out with the cup of noodles. Talking about partying with jocks, sluts, professors.
Loose chicks, yeah.
I think that's in, what, email surveillance, I want to say?
Yeah.
Because he's trying to,
Jim's
like,
party.
He's trying to be, that's right. He's trying to, like, be friends, yeah. Stuff, brain food is what he calls a cup of noodles.
In that episode as well, Jim makes hot dogs on the grill. And then I thought of this as well. In Roy's wedding, he wanted to serve hot dogs. So wherever you look.
And then when Daryl's grilling at Garden Party at the end, does he say
hamburger or cheeseburger?
Oh, hamburger or cheeseburger. That's right. He's not doing hot dogs. That's right. Basil.
And marmalade.
We haven't marmalade. I haven't talked about Robert California yet. He's probably got some weird tastes.
His peculiar taste. Chicken piccata, sauce on the side.
he's mainly wine and drink focused. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of there's we sort of hit this point, like it permeates so much of The Office because it permeates so much of just being a human being, sharing food, eating food. So of course it's on the show all the time. So mm-hmm. you know, it's almost a stretch to be like, oh, this is how this show, like every single TV show I've ever watched, deals with food and drink constantly, all the time. But The Office is able to use it in a myriad of ways. From people can bond over it. There's a lot of comedy that derives from it. There's slapstick that comes from food. There's like wordplay. There's jokes. There's pranks. Everything. I mean, mm-hmm. it's used in every possible way they can.
What
all
is...
the way to they use food to gauge whether or not Michael broke up with Donna because they prepare so much food for him.
Oh,
and he reacts to it in such like a normal way that Pam has like to ask him
wrong.
Straight out. Yeah.
What is a food? If you could pick one food from The Office that you would eat, what would it be? What's one thing on The Office that actually you're like, that looks good. I want that. I should have ordered that.
What do you think? I'm still thinking. Sean, do you have one that's in your mind?
I mean, like certainly, like and you know, this is simple, but I mean, watching the Benihana episode makes me want some Benihanas. Definitely.
Good answer.
I mentioned it before, but there's something about an Egg McMuffin's a sausage sandwich that actually does sound really good, or that early in the morning, right as the sun. Is rising
only before 8 a.m. Good.
I see a cat coming up the stairs in the background there, Alex. Oh,
what's that? Oh,
hello out there.
it's my cat Walter. Hello,
Queen Walter.
Just looming in the back now.
waking up to the smell of bacon does sound nice too. I'll say that.
Yeah, sure.
I'm thinking of Daryl's lunch plate that has like a sandwich and a single chicken wing.
I feel you. He's really enjoying that chicken wing.
Mm-hmm.
I
want you to take that same buffalo wing passion and apply it to lifting weights.
Maybe the, I don't know.
Two that come to mind for
one
me.
One of the
number
egg
one,
rolls on the search. That's pretty good.
Are they really that big? Two that come to mind for me. Number one, the spread at Diwali. I bet that was amazing. And I also am thinking of the Jamaican food that is brought in by Brandon. Hope y'all like goat. I bet that was amazing.
Yeah, that was pretty
yeah,
good.
I'm
actually.
Sure it was.
Curry goat. I bet that was probably one of the best
Heck yeah.
meals they had on the show.
Yeah, I don't have much else that actually would be really, really good.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of stuff that's in The Office and not just like stuff they get at a restaurant, you know?
Right.
That's why the egg roll was a cheap cop out.
Okay. But how about this? Are there any foods in The Office that we didn't see or meals in The Office that we didn't see that you would like to have seen? I can give you a couple examples. What did Dwight serve for dinner to Jim and Pam when they stayed at Shrewd Farms? And number two,
that's good.
What was the meal spread at Dwight and Angela's wedding?
That's great.
It'll all be goat.
I'd like to see Daryl's taco spread in his basement.
Yeah.
What kind of
tacos does Daryl like?
I'd like
exactly.
to see his taco night. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Heard about
mm-hmm.
it. I'd
but
like
he
to
makes
see
a good al pastor.
I'd like to see Robert California's Bacchanal at his house with, you know, rubbing mutton grease on the walls.
Oh yeah, there you go.
Or the Daryl pocket dial while he was eating spaghetti that led to the customer complaint.
Oh, that's another thing I would actually eat. There's something about the to-go pasta that they have in David Wallace's office that looks kind of good, and the tin foil. It comes in the little foil round. I was like, I would eat that up in a second, dude.
I'll tell you some food. I'll tell you some food that I would not want to eat is Pam and Roy's wedding meals that they have to eat.
Oh,
after the wedding is canceled,
chicken or fish?
Oh, especially the fish
for months.
Yeah, that's just throw it away.
Mm-hmm. Tough stuff. Obviously, the mayonnaise and black olives. Not even Michael wants to eat that. He tries to.
Oh, yeah. That's...
just the post Bob and Phyllis having sex food just kind of looks, makes me a little queasy. Yeah. Something about eating mushrooms right after boning like that is,
I think,
deeply upsetting to me.
That is one of those perfectly written lines that is just.
It's the perfect food. They picked the perfect food.
There's something. Oh, God.
Freedom fries for the table.
So gross. Some of that stuff they're eating before weight loss, too, looks kind of plastic. Like the mac and cheese looks like the, you know, that really just terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible box mac and cheese stuff. Like mac and cheese is so easy to make really good mac and cheese that you shouldn't settle for. Should never settle for bad mac and cheese. Although even bad mac and cheese is good.
I was going to say sometimes box mac and cheese is what you want, you know.
It's true. You're right.
Yeah.
It's like
sometimes you want the blue box, sometimes you want Annie's, sometimes, you know.
It's true. So, yeah, or like when I'm sick, it's like, no, I want Campbell's chicken soup. Like I just want basic out of the can chicken noodle soup.
I got sick here a couple of weeks ago and I couldn't find like chicken noodle soup at the store.
Oh. Yeah.
That would make me sicker.
Yeah.
Just feel worse.
I'll have to mail you some. Well, I guess, are there any other foods that we didn't touch on? Maybe a favorite food moment?
I mean, there are so many, and I'm sure that people will let us know about all the different ones we forgot. I'm thinking of Michael and Jim at Hooters, where Jim is good with the ham and cheese sandwich. Michael orders the chicken breast, holds the chicken, and then he follows up with the gourmet hot dog.
There it is again.
Michael and Dwight steal the sushi and eat it on the hood of the car.
Yeah.
God, there's just
Give me Stanley using the pyramid pouch to hold pizza.
Yeah, very good. Very, very good.
That's very good. Thank goodness we caught that one.
Or Dwight eating his hard-boiled eggs at his desk.
At my desk.
Yeah. Really?
And the noodles Niagara that Falls? Creed is eating as everyone throws up.
Niagara Falls. Pregnant Sconesy, pork medallions.
Sconesy cider.
Yeah.
Darn good.
Let
this
us
is an
know.
Episode that quickly changed into us just kind of listing food moments. But it is kind of it's an interesting topic we wanted to talk about.
We said it would happen at the top of the show. Yeah, we knew this was going to happen.
If we missed any of your favorite food moments or you want to share what yours is, shoot us an email, mspodcastcompany@gmail.com. Let's take a quick break and meet back up in the conference room.
Okay, 20 minutes. Conference room. Everybody's in there.
All right, this week in the conference room, I wanted to talk about an article that has been making news lately about a French employee who was fired from his job for not participating in some after-work activities and then sued that company for wrongful termination and won that suit for not being fun enough after work. Obviously, there's a lot of details Amazing. That go into it, but he was initially fired for, it was called professional incompetence after he refused to participate in social activities Whoa. With his colleagues. You know, they talked about actually the details of this, but it's just what a unique headline that someone could be wrongfully fired for not being fun enough or participating in enough after work activities. So naturally, this kind of made me think of The Office. So just think about Michael firing someone for not being fun enough or not wanting to participate in after work activities. And then I guess who in the office is most likely to get fired for not participating in these kinds of after works events?
Stanley, definitely Stanley.
Stanley or Jim?
The thing is, does Michael have
Stanley
the guts?
Doesn't even participate during the workday.
Yeah, I don't think Michael has the guts to fire Stanley over
that. That's true. That's true.
And the other person I would say is like Ryan, but I don't think Michael would ever fire Ryan.
No.
Obviously, for anything.
I just think of the lengths that Jim will go to get out of a certain situation. He talks about how the baby gets him out of everything, about how he has to take a picture and have a non sequitur.
You're right.
Jim was kind of up there for me as somebody who like is going to try to kind of weasel his way or sneak his way out of an after work function.
You know, I think you're right about Jim for that main reason, which is Jim does not have the ability or confidence to do what Stanley would do, which is being like, no, thank you. I don't want to. He would make up an excuse that could be provable that he made it up. Like Michael could look in his email or figure something out to be like, I know Jim lied to get out of this. I can prove it. And I'm firing him because of it. Because Jim wouldn't be able to just say no.
Firing him for being a bad friend.
Yes.
Well, and just think about Michael having people turn down his drinks and being like, you are fired.
Yeah.
And then
clean out
having, just having everything spiral out of a muck. Following that.
Then Jan comes in, Michael, did you fire someone because they weren't fun enough?
Now we have to pay them severance. They're going to sue the company.
I mean, it's a funny, like in relation to The Office, it definitely like you think of that joke of like Michael firing somebody, but it's kind of a sad, boring dystopian fact of life right now. I've heard this is a really popular thing with like, you know, some of the tech companies and stuff like that, that you're really expected to participate outside of work still. And it's really grosses me out.
Why can't your work be your work, your friends be your friends?
There you go.
Employees be your employees.
Employees be your employees. Mm-hmm. That is kind of a disturbing thing that happened, but I like, you know, you're beholden to your work hours and that should be it. But I mean, I feel like this happens in every situation, even not in work stuff, where it's like, hey, I'm expecting my friends to come to this thing that I'm throwing, and if you don't, it's like, what the hell?
We're not like friends anymore.
We're not friends anymore now. I'm firing you as my friend. It's just like, this way you can have a lawsuit if it's at work. But I'm glad that they won. That's great.
That is good.
I bet a lot of coworkers were like jealous about that. Be like, I could have sued them for that.
I could have stayed home and
I didn't
want
to go
them.
To that party. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Think about Ryan staying up dancing all night with Robert California, Ryan and Gabe.
Yeah.
We didn't have to do that. Yeah. So leave.
Oh, God. Awesome. Well, thank you, Edwin.
You're welcome.
Let's do some trivia. How about that?
How about that?
Let's just do our thing, collect our hardware, and get the hell home.
Okay, today's trivia comes to us from Kelly. Hey, guys, I love the podcast. I love the Bob Vance drops, and they inspired me to do this. Bob Vance, Vance Refrigeration Trivia. Enjoy. Kelly from
I'll bid on a hug.
Ohio. Okay, here we go, guys.
What a pair of Marys.
Question number one. Where did Bob Vance buy Phyllis her perfume?
Orlando.
Yeah, Metropolitan.
Yeah, yeah.
Metropolitan Orlando. Yeah.
And Real Pine.
What was the perfume scent? Real Pine. At lunch with Jim and Pam, what score does Bob brag about scoring in bowling?
290.
Yeah.
280.
280.
280. But after bragging, Phyllis calls out.
I love bringing up that one time.
What score is his bad score?
Is it 65?
70. During the crime aid auction, which four people bid on Phyllis's hug?
Dwight,
Bob,
mm-hmm.
David,
yes,
and Oscar, Andy.
Oh, what? Andy,
I really need a hug.
are you
gonna give me one?
Not okay. Here.
Bob Vance makes his first appearance as a guest at what office function?
It's a Christmas party in season 2.
That's right. At Cafe
what
Disco.
What line of work you in, Bob?
At Cafe Disco, Bob asks Dwight if he can steal his wife from him. What is Dwight's response?
You can't steal what is legally your property.
Yes. Season 2. What does Bob buy Phyllis for Valentine's Day? What are the things that we know he buys her?
The giant teddy bear.
Yeah.
Flowers.
Yep.
Chocolates?
Yeah, he gets chocolates as well.
Phyllis.
What does Bob donate as a prize for the most chips for casino night?
This beautiful mini fridge.
That's right. On pretzel day, what
and
does
winner.
Bob...
And winner.
On pretzel day, what does Bob call Stanley and Michael for yelling at Phyllis not to ditch the line?
Hit it. Pair of Marys.
Yep.
Well, settle down, Scott.
Phyllis says that she is a Lutheran and Bob is a what?
Unitarian.
That's right.
Keeps things spicy.
Oh, yeah.
In season 7 costume contest, who does Bob dress up as? Oh, wow. That's a tough one.
Oh, is it Jack Nicholson?
No.
He has the sunglasses and the suit?
Yes.
Blues Brother?
No. No.
Is it someone from Reservoir Dogs?
Like Harvey Keitel?
Or sorry, Reservoir Dogs. I've been watching that show. Sorry.
Reservation Dogs is what you think.
There's going to be a lot of these. I feel like he is Dirty Harry.
Oh, yes. He's
I feel
Harry.
Like we could have gone. We could have listed a lot of people in suits and sunglasses.
I'll kill you.
While the women of the office hosted a shower for Phyllis, Michael hosted a party for Bob. What time was the party?
Oh, it's between like 1:45 and 2:15 or something like that.
Yeah, Bob has a window of time that is from 2:30 to 3:15.
Okay.
that's such an accurate window of time.
It's not even lunch. It's not even his lunch break.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a canceled meeting for sure.
Yeah. In Blood Drive, who is Bob referring to when he says that jackass, that other jackass, and that new jackass?
He means Michael Dwight and Andy.
Finally, what is the name of Bob's secretary who Phyllis thinks he is sleeping with?
Jessica?
Yes.
Nice.
Correct.
It's another Jessica.
It's
Jessica and Katie's and Kathy's. That's all there ever is.
Yeah.
And
well,
one Pam on the street. Who's been known to bend the truth?
Kelly, thank you so much for sending in that trivia. I think, Edwin, you did pretty well on that.
Thank you. Vance Revolution.
Oh, thanks, Sean.
Alex, you were good support.
thank you. As always, I'm Edwin's wingman on every trivia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you want to send us some trivia or let us know which foods we forgot about, email us mspodcastcompany@gmail.com. You can also give us a call, 503-694-9314. Leave us a message. We'd love to play them on the show. We're on Facebook and Instagram. We got a website, michaelscottpod.com. And we're on Patreon, patreon.com/michaelscott. Join us, $5 a month. Become a Scott's Tot. Get the bonus mailbag episodes. Get the ad-free main feed episodes. Get the Ted Lasso season 2. Get the up-and-coming White Lotus. Don't
White
miss
Lotus
it.
Christmas.
Time it with the ending of the show.
I'm dreaming of a White Lotus Christmas.
We also donate a portion of those funds to the Thurgood Marshall College Fund. So very special thanks to our Scott's Tots. You guys support this show and keep us going. And we love you all so much. Special thanks to Ryan Lloyd. He designs our artwork.
Quick thing about Patreon. We're sitting right now at 419 patrons. So
we just need one more.
One
person.
More for the Smoky Doobies with my brother's special award.
Oh.
Maybe we hit one more. We'll do that thing on Patreon, Sean, where we get really, really high and talk about, I don't know
it's
what.
It's been requested.
Sean and Alex will eat garbage
times.
For your entertainment.
This episode was recorded over video chat.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for hanging out with us, for spending some time with us while we talk about food and drink on the office, while we hang out and have a great time. I am so glad that we get to do this show every week or as often as we can. So just thank you for being with us through the journey. You guys make it all possible, and we love you so much. Take care. Stay safe. We'll see you next week.
You've been meatballed.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
To take me home. I know who I want to take me home. Take me home. Oh.
You know what? Fine. I try to start fun traditions for you guys, but if you don't want to sing, no traditions.
Closing time. Every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end.
Good night.